Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now our hostesses, Jen and Sherry.
Hello and welcome to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. I'm Jen Halterman, welcoming you to the show. As we get going today, had a bonus day off yesterday with some power outage and internet going down after some awesome storms here in Texas, and so it's nice to be back with you. A little bit more clarity. It's always good to have a day off, right? Especially when it's in the middle of the week. So welcome to the show. And as I said, I'm Jen Halterman. Sherry will be joining us shortly because that's how we roll around here. We get a little busy. So let me give you a few logistics. If you are new to the show, and there's a number of you who are just finding us, you are welcome to join us as the show is live. Now, the archives will be available anytime through the links on social media and on Blog Talk Radio itself. But if you're live, you can go over to the show page itself, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see a chat box there, which is where you can send us little messages. If you're friends with us on Facebook, sometimes we have that available, and we check it periodically throughout the show also. But, however, there is a way that you can join us on the air if you have a contribution to the topic, and that's all we ask, that you are contributing to the topic or asking a question about it. If you're going to call in. And the number to call in is 646-200-0825. And, you know, I love a good Texas rain, I'm telling you. I look out the window when I'm doing the show in my office, I'm watching the raindrops come down and the drains are dripping a bit. And it's just a beautiful day here, so I'm a little distracted by springtime weather outside my window. But this topic comes from a space of how on earth do we explain the difference of the work that is available to us. Inner work is so common, self-help is so common, and so many people have different perspectives about it. And when does it apply? How do we know what's good? How do we know what we need at the time? You know, there's some jokes, and I have totally been in communities where you can't even, you know, throw a stick without hitting a life coach. And everybody is a life coach, and everybody thinks they ought to be a life coach because their friends ask them for advice. And, you know, it's one of those things that I kind of chuckle about. And then same thing with, a massage therapist. I go to a body worker. But there are so many modalities out there that how do you know what applies? And so Sherry and I were talking about this morning, this topic, and I was sharing with her, you know, I really want to get clear about what is the difference from our perspective. You have two different people, two different professions, bringing this conversation together. So for those who are not aware, Sherry has been doing massage therapy for over 20 years, and so many years, so much experience, and then she took on deeper levels of body work for people, which include cranial sacral therapy, and she can explain what I lost the lettering, honey. She'll laugh when it comes on, but it's emotional release, and it's all this stuff, and she took on that training. She went deeper with hers. I went into life coaching. I went in to get some certification. I'm also psychic, so I went in, and I was like, how can this serve my clients? And I went into some deeper transformational support for my clients. So together we're going to be talking about the different levels that people come to us from. All of them are perfect. All of the different approaches and where people are is absolutely perfect. But how do you know if the support you're getting matches where you are, or if maybe you're not aware of where you are and how you can get to where you are? So we're going to be talking about this. I hope you'll stay with us throughout the show and really be open to being where you are. That's one of the most important things. And I mentioned that, Sherry, I wanted to be really clear on this show. We have been in different places on our own personal journey, and so we don't want this show topic to come across as if one of these spaces is better, because the truth is where you are is exactly where life has brought you. It's not wrong. It may suck. It may be fabulous. I don't know. That's up to you, but that's your business, not mine. So we're just going to talk about this. I'm going to bring Sherry on now so that we can get started in this very, there's a lot of content to go with this show. So welcome, Sherry. What on earth is that
good
emotional
morning.
Release process you do? I forgot the name.
Well, I understand, and I was giggling. It's in Upledger, Dr. John Upledger terms, it's called somato-emotional release. And in Carol Gray terms and Sherry Gillum terms, it is supporting emotional release.
Mm. Awesome. Okay, now we know.
There you go. So somato-emotional release.
Okay.
Sweet.
Awesome. I'm glad we clarified that. Well, thank you for getting on the show as soon as you could. I love that we both work before the show, and sometimes we come running across the finish line.
I am getting coffee, however.
Oh, okay. We'll pour the coffee.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So the three areas, which there are many facets of the areas that we want to talk about today, are when we start out, a lot of us, what happens to get us into the conversation of healing or coaching or whatever that may be. It a lot of times it comes from a crisis. Now, please understand, I'm going to use really broad terms because I expect that everybody listening can apply their specific words that they would prefer on their own. And so whatever that is, and this can be, and crisis just means that it's pain and discomfort that something is wrong. And it can be a physical crisis. It can be emotional crisis. It can be, you know, life just sucks sometimes. There's death. There's, you know, heartbreak. There's upset. There's confusion. There's loss. All kinds of things can bring us to that crisis point. And when we go into crisis management, manage is just handling it. The biggest thing that comes up is that a lot of people are seeking relief right now. They want relief. They are in pain. They are uncomfortable. But there's a few levels of this that I really want to acknowledge. And here's the reason why. There's a difference in having the hiccups. And I use hiccups as an example because I am a hell of a hiccuper. I can hiccup to the point that, like, my whole body is shuddering, and it hurts, and I can't breathe, and my throat hurts. And for those of you who know me, you've probably witnessed it at least once. But I can really hiccup. And when you're in that space of hiccups, you want them to stop. That's all there is. Just make the hiccups stop.
Totally.
And, yeah, and I will do whatever it takes. Like, I will stop conversations. I will go and get drinks. You know, I have this trick I do where I drink through a straw or something that I have to suck through, not just gulp, and I plug my ears and hold my breath while I drink, and then I blow after I take a big long drink. I then blow, and so I have all these tricks to get rid of damn hiccups because I want them to stop now.
It's quite the sight. It's quite the sight, I must say.
Yeah. And then, quite honestly, when the hiccups are gone, my urgency is gone, and I can easily forget I even had hiccups. So 2 hours later, somebody can say, how are your hiccups? Once you get rid of your hiccups, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I had the hiccups. I forgot. However, at the point that I'm in the hiccups, I am in seeking relief mode, okay? So there's that level of crisis. Then there's another level, okay? And let's use a headache as an example. Not migraine, not that intense, but just a headache, okay? A headache, you want relief. Some people have certain things that they do. Some people will quickly take an Excedrin or an ibuprofen. Other people will go and get hydrated. Other people will go lay down, take a break. Other people will go outside, go for a walk. Whatever it is, they will do what they need to do to relieve that. Again, mm-hmm. They may remember the headache. They may remember they had a headache. But once it's gone, they aren't seeking relief for the headache anymore. Just like the hiccups, after the hiccups and the headache are gone, they're no longer saying, man, I've really got to figure out how to get rid of this headache or hiccup, because the crisis isn't there anymore. right? So we had a situation with you with a sliver recently where it was kind of a foam pole sliver, but there was a sliver, yeah. And it was excruciating and painful, and you wanted it gone, and it took bravery, and it took some action, and after it was gone, there was a little bit of ouch. You had some making sure the wound was clean because it left a hole. I didn't laugh, but it was bad.
It wasn't a 2x4. It was probably a 1x6, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of thing, but the ouch stuck around, okay? So then we look at this when it comes to emotions. This comes on emotionally. This comes on mentally. This comes on with our thoughts and our heart and our relationships. All of these things, these different levels, it's really easy to refer to these with physical things, but it comes on with different areas of our life, okay? So, for example, I can't tell you the name of the guy that I went on one date with back when I was in, you know, in my late 20s. I don't remember. Like, that's gone. That didn't create an attachment. I don't carry that around. That's just something that's gone. However, I can tell you the pain that I felt when I let go of somebody I love dearly. Okay, so there's different levels. And sometimes this pain sticks around, and sometimes it alleviates and it's gone. But the point I want to make about bringing all this up is when you have a crisis situation you go into management of, you have to look at, okay, the pain relief, the seeking of the relief, whatever it is, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, can be very urgent, and it can linger a little bit. Or it can go to the next level that I want to talk about, which is chronic, okay? And that chronic crisis management. In the work that I do with the coaching, I see this with drama a lot. So people have drama dynamics, victim, villain, hero, fighting, struggling, angst, and it will come in and it will And that's what I'm talking about when I say it's chronic. It repeats. Even when that's alleviated, that there is a chance that pain's coming back. So that's when you take an aspirin, and this is when you start taking one every day. This is when you get hooked on the painkillers, because you're taking painkillers all the damn time. This is when people get into drug addiction. This is when people start numbing out because it's repeated, or can sometimes be that crisis point when they seek further help, okay? Now, Sherry, because you do this physical body work, okay, I have a judgment. We did not talk about this, but I'm going to make an assumption. My assumption is, and the reason is because I apply it to my own stuff. My assumption is that you were in massage therapy and chronic crisis management kept repeating, and so you kept wanting more and more training to help so that it wasn't just managing, but you could actually support people in getting out of the chronic crisis cycle.
That is true. Can you hear me?
Okay.
I want to make sure I'm off mute.
Yes.
Yeah, the dogs are bothering us. Doing massage therapy school and doing massage, I definitely wanted more. And before cranial sacral, I actually went into neuromuscular therapy, which is real specific work of managing motor vehicle people that are in chronic pain, and still, you know, teaching stretching, helping clients get educated to help themselves. And it still wasn't enough, and that's when I switched gears to cranial sacral therapy, which is a gentler approach, a gentler way into the body, and a lot of things can unfold with both all the modalities. But for me, cranial sacral really, really fits the mold of who I am. Just based on my healing, which we're gonna talk about as we go, but yes, that is a good assumption to make
Okay, good. Well, and quite honestly, you know, I mean, when I got introduced to my now one of my wonderful friends and mentors, Megan Sillitoe, the reason I was introduced to her was because I had some trauma. I had some relationship trauma that I needed some healing. And, you know, somebody had gone to her for rapid eye therapy, and that was releasing trauma. And so that's how I got introduced. Now, because it was rapid eye therapy, and that modality encourages their facilitators to then teach life skills classes, I started down a very different path than rapid eye. Like, I was going to sessions of rapid eye, but then along with it, because the rapid eye would alleviate the trauma, and then the class would teach skills to keep us out of the trauma, okay, so that we would stop re-traumatizing ourselves. And that process of, okay, I'm going to do this specific therapy, this coaching, this modality, this healing, this whatever, but then how do I stop hurting myself, okay, came up. And that's where, to me, this is where we start getting into really what is that about, because I've seen two different camps split off from this, okay? And that is, people will do crisis management, and they will be introduced to the skills to help them with the crisis management, okay, just like ibuprofen, then let's say a life skill, like breathing deeply and being emotionally expressive, okay? And they will either, oh, the ibuprofen worked, I'm just going to take ibuprofen every, you know, 4 to 6 or 6 to 8 hours, whatever the hell it is, for the rest of my life, okay? Or I'm going to allow this to support me, and I'm going to seek more knowledge so that I'm not doing that analgesic support. I'm not going to do the medication. I'm actually going to start making changes in my habits, in my behaviors, in my actions, so that I'm not managing the crisis. Instead, I'm choosing wellness. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm. That's totally correct. Yes. Totally.
Awesome.
And, you know, in body work, the same situation. We have people that, you know, have the crisis management. Oh, I hurt my shoulder. I need it. You know, I've been carrying this pain around for 3 days. I'm taking ibuprofen. They finally come in. We do some neuromuscular work or deep tissue stuff, and they're good to go, and they go on. But same person comes in a few weeks later, man, the shoulder pain is back. Well, let's go a little bit deeper. Let's take a look at cranial sacral, and let's see what's in the tissue. Is there some emotional issues attached to it? If so, let's bring them to the surface so they can exit your body too.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, that, and see, this is why I didn't want there to be any judgment as we're talking about this, because for those of you who are listening, if you are like, wait, there might be something deeper. I want you to become aware that wherever you are is exactly where you need to be so that you can take action. Because as you'll see, some people go from that crisis management, and I'll use my experience, rapid eye. They go to a session of rapid eye, and suddenly they want to be a facilitator rapid eye. And they have done none of the work in between. They think they can just go practice rapid eye, or they think they can go, oh, well, I'm just going to go, and I'm going to do this, and, you know, give my husband a back rub, and it should have the same impact, because they don't have all the steps in between. So they leapfrog, and they jump, and they think that's transformation. And that is not the true transformation that sticks. It's also why, if you are working with somebody and you feel like there's an inauthenticity with what they're teaching and what they're living, you'll recognize it. A lot of people recognize it. And it comes across really like, what is that? I don't trust this. It doesn't feel true. It doesn't feel authentic. So please, as you're listening, if you go, wow, physically, I am in crisis management all the time. Emotionally, I've got a great maintenance plan. Maybe you emote really regularly with great awareness and all of that. But physically, you're in crisis management. That is just awareness. But see, if you're not willing to acknowledge that awareness, then you're fooling yourself. And you can't do the work. It's like if you need to organize, the closet in your coat closet that's in your front door, just past your front door, okay? If you need to organize that, you can't leapfrog into the master bedroom and organize that closet and have the coat closet suddenly be organized. It doesn't work that way. You actually have to do the work there first, and then you can move through and get to that other closet. But organizing, doing something on one level does not mean it automatically applies to the other. So allow yourself to be where you are. This is, oh my gosh, I got to damn it, Jen, which means apparently I hit home with somebody. So allow yourself to be where you are. Okay, so now I want to continue on. I think we have a little bit more kindness for ourselves coming through. Okay, so next, here we go. Do you want to say anything about that little bit, what we talked about so far? Let's make it tangible so people can actually feel it. No, you're good?
Yeah, I'm good on this one because I just kind of threw things. Yeah, I did it quick. Yeah. I'll do longer next time. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, we're fine because this is what I want to get to is this next section. Yeah. And I know we've got more to say on this next section, and that is we shift. I don't want people thinking we shit. We do shit, then we shift. So we shift from the crisis, whether it's chronic or one time, okay, and we go into that management place, and we've got the crisis under control, and then there are people who say, okay, so I want the next level. And the next level can be that they go into kind of what I'm calling a maintenance plan or a life maintenance plan, okay? This is where our habits. This is where either we're in the habit of taking ibuprofen or we're in the habit of hydrating so we don't get headaches, like whatever it is, because this is where we find out. Is your maintenance plan to avoid crisis or to further a thriving life? Are you doing what you're doing to avoid crisis or to go into a further expansion and thriving? Because I am here to tell you that when you're avoiding crisis, you're looking a different direction than forward. You could be looking down, you could be looking back, you can be watching over your shoulder, but you are not looking forward. You're managing something you're avoiding, and if you think about it, the more you put your attention on it, you're actually creating it, even if the crisis you now have is you're obsessed with avoiding drama, or you're obsessed with not having another car accident, or you're obsessed with whatever, okay? You avoid anything, you have to focus on it. Yes, exactly, in the chat, yes, okay? So, Sherry, I know, and we've had conversations, so we're going to speak gently, because we're going to be careful about this, but I know that you actually have clients that this is something you see them repeat. Can you give a real benign example of people who don't move forward because they are obsessed with what they're avoiding, what they're managing through their maintenance?
A benign example. This is tricky.
General terms.
I know. Okay, I'll just benign. A migraine person.
Okay.
We get to the root of the problem. We get to the root of the problem, and cranial sacral really helps, okay? And there's a little emotion underneath that, and we talk about homework that they can do. They take home a sack homework. Take home and work on this. And the little tidbits of, okay, avoid these foods, avoid this type of food, things to avoid, because we have kept a journal. We've encouraged them to keep a journal of, you know, food, move, or food and mood, and what are the triggers, okay? So we're doing really good. Well, then, you know, they start getting migraines. Well, are you doing your little journaling of what's triggering you? Well, I just got kind of tired of it, and here I am. I'm having them every week again. Can you just do that stuff that you do and get rid of them for me? And, you know, I can facilitate. I am more than willing to facilitate someone in their healing process, and I do, and I totally meet people where they are. But I, in order to be in my true authenticity, I cannot do their work for them. I cannot hold their hand enough. I can only give them the tools that I know how. I can't do their work for them, just like you can't for your client. We have to have an agreement in place to say, okay, we will do this, and will you take accountability for this part in it? And can you can you recommit? Is it a recommitment? Are you willing to recommit to that? Because otherwise these migraines are still gonna keep coming back and coming back. Now, granted, there might be, I'm not saying that cranial sacral is gonna fix it all, but I highly believe, I've had such success with helping people with migraines, if we combine some nutritional things as well as you know, some body work implementation, and who knows, there might be some emotional pieces underneath that, and I'm more than willing to go there. So it is a process. It's a process of the body unfolding. Just like, and you'll speak about this, just like coaching, the emotions, the goals, the commitments are going to unfold. I work on the body, but there is a part of the spirit and the soul that knows how. In each and every one of us, there's a part of us that knows what's true for us inside. And that's the part that I like to bring forward with my clients, that knows. They know it can be better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's kind of, I don't want to say they divide, but it truly is. That's where I see clients separate themselves into categories. Like, there's the people who, well, they manage the crisis, great, but when the crisis comes back up, they'll show up again. And they'll have skills,
mm-hmm.
they'll have skills that they go to help it. And then when they no longer remember the pain of the crisis, they then stop the habits, the patterns of behavior and the choices they are making that keep the crisis away, and then they slip back in, the crisis is back, and they have to retrain, which is why life maintenance plans take practice. They actually, they don't do any good, okay? And so this is where clients either they keep going on their healing journey or they stop. Now, Sherry, you and I, and we've talked about it openly, so I'm not divulging any secrets here.
No, but go ahead.
We both do certain things where it's like, yeah, I know for a fact if I eat a certain way, if I move a certain way, if I do, my physical body is going to cooperate, it's going to function better, all of these things. And there are times when I consciously choose, not about perfection. No, I'm not saying be perfect, but I consciously choose, yeah, I know this has a lot of sugar, or I know this, you know, is salty or whatever, but I'm gonna choose this. It's not an everyday thing, but I'm going to choose it, because if we are not consciously choosing it, okay, and we just slide back in and pretend like we're not mm-hmm. making that choice, before you know it, we're doing more than a line of Oreos at night. We're eating more than a bag of Puff Cheeto things, and we're, you know.
Yeah.
And we get back into there. So this maintenance plan is really good to know. Are you just managing the crisis in your life? And if you are, great, fabulous, are you tired yet, is what I would ask. Or have you started moving forward into how do you maintain the good life you've got? Are you no longer focusing on the crisis, but instead your focus, your energy is heading forward? What's the life you want to create? You know, if I want to create a life of being a marathoner, I need to get my ass up off the couch. And if I'm focusing on not breaking an ankle when I went running, okay, I'm never going to go out and get back to movement. I'll be on the couch worrying about breaking an ankle. But if I want to go and run a marathon, I got to get out there. And so it's that choice of your focus and that direction and putting this maintenance plan is into practice. And this is where it comes up really big for me. I would say it used to be like massive, massive pet peeve. Now I just choose not to work with people like this. But one of my biggest complaints when I didn't have good boundaries as a coach when I was starting out was people who would just show back up, same damn drama, same damn story, and they were practicing none of their skills because they thought that the session was what was going to fix them, not how they lived their life. So I will ask, how are you living your life? Are you living your life in a way that contributes to crisis and drama, or are you living your life in a way that keeps you moving towards what you want to create? And this is where I'm going to make a really important point. It came up in a chat message that I got. You and I talked about it before also. This is a big piece. As a facilitator, because I'm kind of talking to the other part of the audience now, as a facilitator, if you are serving people, whether it's coaching, body work, you know, accounting, whatever it is, you must be doing your work also. You must be doing your own maintenance plan. Because what way too often is people will go into, oh my gosh, you know, I support these clients. I've got 16 clients doing their art journals, and I don't have any time for my own art journal. Are you kidding? I art journal all the damn time with my clients, but where's yours? And you don't do your own. And Sherry, I know this applies to you with your physical body and your own healing. This is mine and my own coaching. So what comes up for you around this? Because this is a big place about people doing their own work. Whether you're a healer, whether you're just at the client level, whatever it is, what's your take on this? I think you're muted.
Oh, shit.
Okay, it's just gone.
Okay.
Okay, shit.
Okay, I'm such a goofball. Yes, I have a huge, this is real big for me. This is so important. And I teach this when I teach any kind of body work classes. Do your work, guys. I have to do my work. This is really important to me. I got into massage therapy because I was in an accident. I was a corporate trainer. And I was like, there's no way. Somebody gave me a gift certificate. I was in a meditation class. Here, come get a massage. I'm like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to take my clothes off and let somebody rub my body. Well, after the third time of getting a massage, the gates of life opened. It was one of those aha moments. And I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to help people in this way. I can learn how to do this and teach people how to take care of the bodies. And so, you know, once I had that big aha, I went into massage therapy school, everything just clicked. And along the way, guess what happened? I started doing my, you know, when you go through any kind of intensive training, you're gonna be up against your stuff. And I certainly was, with a lot of emotional healing took place during that time. I ended up quitting my corporate job. And the point I want to make is I started working on myself, because if I'm going to go into massage therapy school and come out in the world and work on people, I have to have better boundaries than the ones I had. So I learned a lot about boundaries and a lot about holding that space container, because our bodies are so sacred. It's such a sacred ground to work with people, and I honor it every time I touch someone's body. And along with all of that, and what's happened along with all of that, as I've progressed through my 20-some years, I always come up against something that nudges me a little further in my own personal development and my own awareness and my own stuff that I need to work through or that I'm facing against that can take me to the next level. Now, I'm speaking very vaguely. Here, I'm going to get real specific. During massage school, or when I started doing cranial work, I came up against people, you know, you're in a classroom and there were you're doing your emotional work, some in the upper levels of the class, and, you know, I come up against sexual abuse because I experienced that early on in my life. Well, I certainly had to move through all of that cycle of, first of all, admitting that I was. That was a big thing for back then. And and working through all of, you know, all of the things, I'm just going to put it in a bubble, okay, of sexual abuse, and working through my emotions and being brave enough to face them. And guess who my clients were? Women that have been sexually abused, and helping me, I am helping them now walk through that hell of their life. To move on the other side of it. And I still continue to see those type of people or some type of traumatic abuse. Here's another big one. One of the classes I took in cranial sacral, they were introducing how to work on children, and they brought this wonderful little baby into the class, and the instructor, he was doing a demo. I've got chills because I'm just so in this class. I can see the whole room. And this baby starts crying. And I freaked out. I had to go clear across the room. One of the teaching assistants came by me because I was just shaking so much. And I was emoting. I was crying. I was like, he wasn't hurting the baby. I was like, how am I ever going to get to that, to work on that baby? It was just so beautifully done. And this baby was crying. And it went through this whole process of kind of reliving its birth experience. And I was like, oh, my gosh, guess what? That, like, 2 months later, I got myself in the craniosacral for pediatrics class. And guess what? You work on yourself in that class. Guess what? I went through my own birth experience and came out on the other side of it. And it is amazing because my practice is moms and babies. Babies, I can walk in a grocery store and babies look at me like they know me. It happens all the time. And you know what? I love working with babies and children, peds or little kids, or even I have some special needs kids like autism and cerebral palsy. One of my greatest teachers was a 2-year-old cerebral palsy child back in Illinois. He's 15 now, and he couldn't speak. So it was nonverbal communication, and that young man taught me unconditional love. And it was after that peds class that he came into my practice. And, you know, it's the story is very rich and it's very tender to my heart because I'm very passionate about the work I do and the people that I work with. You want to go to that level, I'm your person, because I'm going to hold that space. And it's so important for us to dive in to our own work so that we can, you know, if we're anyone in that service profession, in a place of service, it's so important. It is so important. And I continually learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is important that we do our own work. That, I mean, we can hear your passion is the message I'm getting. We can hear your love of your work. It's tangible by how you're talking about it. And that is a benefit. And that is part of why we get so excited and we light up. It's because we're in work that, yes, we're being of service, but it actually feeds our aliveness. It's tangible. People can hear it. People can sense it. And when we get to this space of a maintenance plan for somebody who comes in and, you know, they're coming into our aliveness. This is a gift we have to bring to the world. And they come in and they say,
oh my gosh, this session was so amazing. This changed my life. I've got the relief. I have forward moving energy. And then they leave and they forget everything and they never do anything again. And they only come back when they're in crisis. Quite honestly, that is why when I experience that with clients, I go, nope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't choose. Mm-hmm. I actually have agreements with my clients. And if they do not come in with that intention to do their work and follow through, I just say no. It's not a match to work together. The reason is because I don't want to keep revisiting the same old thing. And if somebody wants to do that, then go talk to somebody else. If they want to work with me, I'm about moving forward in possibility and expansion and aliveness and divinity and all of that. So we have these variations. Now, somebody comes in, they receive a session, they show back up for their next session, they've done their homework, they're excited, they're getting in their practice. You can tell. Why can you tell? You can tell it in their body, you can tell it in their words, you can tell it in their emotions, you can tell it in their vibration and energy, that they are now resonating with this plan that they've put in place, okay? When those, and I said this to you, when I get done with a client that I've worked with and they are on like this, when they leave, I'm always like, mm-hmm. I'll have more of that, please. Yes, send more clients like that. I want those clients because, and it's not because I can't serve the people who come in for crisis. I totally can. Are you kidding? I teach the damn drama triangle. I get it. I know that drama and crisis happens. And if you're not interested in getting out of that, I'm not your coach. If you like being in that and you just want to come and tell somebody all your stories, I will not coach you. But damn straight, I'll sit down with a glass of wine because your stories about the drama triangle are entertainment to me. You're as good as Hollywood to me because it's all about stories. Okay?
And that's good as Hollywood.
You're good as Hollywood, baby. So if you're working, so back to if somebody's like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? Well, how do I make choices? How do I know? What do I do? Know where you're at. Know where you're at, okay? If you're in crisis mode and you're like, I need somebody to help me get out of this crisis habit I got, contact me. I will refer you to some brilliant coaches that they love the crisis coaching. They love it. They're brilliant at it. There's a lot of modalities, like I said, rapid eye, EFT, that kind of stuff. It's all about the crisis, okay? So don't be afraid to be there. It's not a shame thing. Hell, I was there. I bought real estate there for quite a while. I had to be there, and I had to get through it.
Well, and you have to, you know, honestly, it's like you said at the beginning of the show, it's the crisis that propels us forward because it gets so crappy in that hellhole that you got to do something to get out.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So in the life maintenance plan, whether you are, life is good, I don't want to change a damn thing, I want to stay right here, great. At least you've got a maintenance plan to keep that going on. My hope is that you have skills so that if a crisis shows up, you can maintain the good, okay? Here's what's possible, okay? And this is quite honestly, I would say lighten up. I would say this show and my old show, Everyday Joy, I would say the content of these shows help with crisis management and they help with life maintenance plans. This is about giving you tools. This is about giving you skills that you can practice. And why does this go here? Because you may call in, you may get a little bit of feedback, but this, you're literally being, it's like buying a self-help book, and it's up to you to apply it. So this is actually why I do this show. Here you go. Here's the practices. Here's some exercises. Here you go. And why I do this as a coach is because when you show up to work with me, I don't really want to go over all this with one person. Because if I did that, I would be teaching this 24 hours a day, 365. I'd be tired of it, bored, done, don't want to repeat the damn drama triangle again. That's why I've created content, so that I can capture it, send you a file, you can listen to it. Yeah, bring your questions. That's great. But we're moving past it because the juice is what I'm getting to. The juice is where I want to work. I want to be in the aliveness. I want to be beyond there. So there is support. So if you're like, okay, so I just realized I've been giving thousands and thousands of dollars to crisis management, all while expecting this person who thrives in crisis management to get me into my aliveness. Yeah, that's a wake-up call. You're working with the wrong person. Because here's the real, honest-to-God truth, and this is not a judgment. But a therapist, a coach, a healer, a support person cannot take you deeper than they've gone.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot walk you through a journey they themselves have not taken. That is why I always say, before you hire a coach, before you better know their story. You better know why they're doing what they're doing. Because if it's just a nice idea, yeah, no. It doesn't translate. It's like Sherry's going to go give me a massage. She's never let anybody lay their hands on her body. You know? It's like me talking to you about emotions, and I numb out with drugs and alcohol every time an emotion comes up in me. You wouldn't want to do that. So be really clear about who you work with. Okay? So next. I want to move on to the next part because this is the
yes.
juice. This is the exciting part. When all of this is transformation, crisis management, chronic crisis management, moving into a maintenance plan, even if you're focused on the crisis, you're still making progress because you're not where you were yesterday. You're at least doing it different. Even if you're just wearing a different pair of sweatpants, you're doing something different. Okay? So when we get into that space, if you are actually looking for that space of beyond the crisis, beyond just a maintenance plan, and you have that knowing, Sherry talked about it, I talk about it, you have that knowing that there's more. There's a deep knowing. People explain this like, I have a knowing of my purpose. I have this deep festering desire to fulfill my purpose or to make a change. Something's coming up. I've done all this work, but there's something deeper. This is where the juice is, okay? Because this is where you make a real, very distinct choice, okay? This is where you choose to do your work because I'm telling you, you can actually avoid all of this whole next phase that I'm talking about. Because this is where you decide that good is not enough, and this is where you want great, you want more healing, more greatness, more purpose, more aliveness, more essence, more divinity, more power, more magic, whatever it is. This is the level where you decide, you know what, I could do this maintenance plan the rest of my life, but I want more. To be totally honest, this is where I get excited about one-on-one and class-focused intensive transformation because you're deciding, you're choosing, you want more, that status quo is not enough, that maintenance is not enough. You're ready to be courageous and do what's uncomfortable. You're ready to let go of control. You're ready to go into the unknown because there's something in you drawing you forward to go into this place of transformation. And that is a possibility for, and quite honestly, there are some of you listening that you have no desire. You're like, why in the hell? I've worked all this time to get comfortable with my life. Why would I purposely make myself uncomfortable? And that may be okay for you. But for those of you who go, yes, Jen, this is what I want, I'm talking to you. Because this is where you have a choice. And one of my favorite coaches, Steve Chandler, this is a quote by him, and he describes it so well. And this applies to coaching. So, Sherry, maybe you can translate it to your realm a little
sure.
bit. But this
yeah.
just uses coaching. Coaching comes from the world of sports and the arts. where athletes and actors receive coaching so that their work will become extraordinary instead of just okay. Coaching gives clients a secret weapon, a competitive edge that their uncoached peers don't enjoy. Coaching takes people from good to great. Coaching is not for dysfunctional people. Isn't that interesting? I love that piece, actually. That's a really good piece right there. Coaching is not for dysfunctional people because coaching is actually not here to heal the sick and the wounded. Coaching is there to help people reach their highest callings and unlived lives, the lives they are not living because they are trapped in their own isolated, self-critical egos. Coaching expands their world. Now, I do think that's Steve's perspective, and I do think that, you know, people can go to coaching to get through, you know, that crisis coaching, but be clear that that's what you're getting. Choose it. There are coaches that I know of that thrive on telling their clients what to do instead of inspiring their clients to find their own voice and make their own choices. There are coaches who choose bullying because they attract clients who need to be told what the hell to do every step of the way. And that, if that's your thing, go have fun, buy real estate, do whatever you want. But where I want to play is in this realm, where it is about going from good to great. You and I love The Voice, and we watch it, and we like coaches on The Voice according to how they coach people. And I'm telling you, when I watch, and we cry all the time when we're watching that show, but when we watch one of the coaches take somebody who is good, they're there because they chose them, because they're good. They met the coach's criteria and they got on their team, and they tap into that. What's that thing stopping you? What's blocking you? Let's go past it. Come on, come on, come on. And you watch as that person gets on stage and they sing and they perform, and that coach is standing in the audience cheering with tears down their face, and they are blown away by the extraordinary expression that came through their person. That right there, that's the juice. That's like that, see, yes, that is in you. That's why you hire a coach. That's what changed your life. That's that transformation that once you've done that, you can no longer believe the lie that you are less than that. You can't. It doesn't happen. Okay? So don't leapfrog, because I'm telling you, if you're in crisis management and you think going on to extreme transformation is the answer, and you don't have a maintenance plan, okay, this is the problem, all right? This is where you get into a problem and you backslide. Here's a message coming in from a chat on Facebook. Ongoing healing work with a healer is being coached through healing and transforming yourselves from crisis to aliveness. I love that. Thank you. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sherry, mm-hmm. I know you can speak to that.
Well, I can. You know, for me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
The combination of both, like if you're getting some type of body work that holds that sacred space for you to do the body work healing, the cellular level healing, and you're working with a coach too, it's phenomenal. It is transformation. It totally brings you so much more into your essence and your alignment. It does.
It really does. And I will say that, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate is I surround myself with healers. I really do, by choice. And we will look at each other and be like, man, I need my bars run. And we'll run the bars and we'll, you know, do some work. We'll do some massage, or we'll do some essence work, or whatever it is that we can contribute to the other. But if we can't get it from each other, we go to other people. You get physical work as well as you know, going in and having coaching stuff and taking classes, we are always seeking to improve ourselves. Why? Because we have our own work to do. And I know, mm-hmm. I know damn well, and I will tell you, I would have thought, because I have grieved. I lost a stepdaughter. I've lost grandparents. I've had friends die. I will tell you, yes, I'm familiar with grief. Before 2013, yeah, I've had people come to me who are grieving, and I was like, yeah, I get it, totally there with you. And I could walk with them as they went through grief. But I am telling you what, after Kelsey, my daughter, and her entire family were killed in 2013, I went to an entirely new level of hell. And the grief I went through then, and when 8 members of my family died all at once, now when somebody comes to me with grief, I know a whole lot more real estate down there, and I know how to get out of it. Not because I'm better, but because I went through more. So when you're doing this work, when you're in this transformation work and you're coaching or getting healing support, whatever it is, know what this is about. Know what the person guiding you or walking along your side, know what they know, okay? You cannot show up and support people if you haven't done your own work, which is always a big pet peeve of mine. So we have to close the show because there's so much to talk about, Sherry.
Oh, there's so much to talk about.
Okay. I know.
All right,
so
I'll make a note.
Good thing there's
I'll
another show tomorrow. But make some more notes. Anyway, so here's what I have to say, okay, is you have a choice, okay? You have a choice as to if you're going to try to do this alone or if you're going to have somebody support you. This is an amazing message just came in. Thank you so much for sending it. And it says, it's a hell you can never imagine without experiencing it. And it's a hell you would never want anyone else to go through alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a really good message.
Mm.
Thank you, Angie. And,
oh.
And the reason that matters, yeah, right?
It's like, oh, Angie,
oh,
yeah. That brought tears.
The reason that matters is, yes, I can't imagine you going through that hell of grief alone after what I went through, which is why I coach. I know what it's like to forget my divinity, which is why I coach, which is why I help people remember their divinity. It's why I encourage you to get in your aliveness, because I was a living dead person. I had no aliveness in me. I was flatlined for so long. I chose aliveness. And that's the invitation. So know what you're doing because you know where you are, and that will help you clarify what support you need. And because it's a choice, what you need by where you are and where you receive support from and from whom, you now have a better understanding because of this one conversation. So do you need crisis management? Do you need a maintenance plan? Are you ready for deep transformational work? Whatever that is, be where you are, connect with what is true for you, connect with people to support you through it, and most of all, do your work. Do not think that the only transformation happens inside a session. What you do outside of that session is actually what changes your life. Whew, what a show.
I just am so appreciative. I don't know half the chat comments you got, but I just feel so much expansion and gratitude for everybody that has listened today and gratitude for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm going to be back tomorrow talking about this topic some more. So send your questions, lightenupwithjen@gmail.com. Got to go. Bye.
Hi. I just need an oil Uh-oh. Change and a check.
Oh, that is not a good recording right there. Different audio.
No.
Tune in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's craniosacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. BodyWise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being.
If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.